Now, I got a lot of great feedback on the nested grids we did last time. And I wanted to provide a little more information about how to use those effectively and what they are. And any questions you guys, I'm open up to any questions you guys might have about using it. And then we'll go on to what we're doing today, okay? So the nested grids, go ahead.
It's Tommaso. And I might have missed it, but I know it said to alternate 12, 20, 12, 20, and so forth.
Uh-huh.
What is the why begin with 12, and what is the significance of the 12 and 20 in that context?
Well, actually, it turns out, you know, we did the 12, 20, and then you capped it with a double tetrahedron, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a reverse Merkaba structure. Some of you who've worked with me before have heard of the Merkaba structure. It's an ascension vehicle. It's it helps you travel dimensions and manifest things. In the traditional Merkaba, you start with the double tetrahedron, then put on the 12-sided and the 20-sided. This one is opposite. We start with the 12-sided, the 20-sided, and go up to however many levels you want to use it for. And then the one around the planet or the final level is going to be the double tetrahedron.
Right.
And that's because the Merkaba is an inward movement, okay? That movement is generated from essence outward of your body. But the nested grids, they will pull energy in from the upper dimensions. Whenever you set a nested grid around yourself, it sets up like a beacon that could be very easily seen in the other dimension. So if you're trying to go stealth, you don't want your guides to find you, don't put this up. Because it's very noticeable. And the planetary service guys of the council will specifically use it to beam to your location any energy on the local grid works that they're maintaining through you, you acting as a conduit for that. On a personal level, it keeps your field very stable. And a lot of people, I've gotten feedback, they say they just feel a lot better, a lot calmer when this is up. There are two types of these nested grids, dynamic and static. A static grid, obviously, is set around a space and left there. A dynamic grid, you put around your unified field and it travels with you. It's different from the quad grid that we have on the website because the quad grid is meant to, you're infusing very specific energies in there to clear level by level. The nested grids you're going to want to use just to open yourself up. You're basically putting yourself on the roster for some planetary service. But it also is a greatly stabilizing grid, much more so than the quad grid. Because it's so stable. And I'll get into your question again, Tommaso. The 12-sided is a very stable structure. That's why we start with that. The 20-sided is also very stable. But when you look at the platonic solid, you see that there are all these multiple vertices. It gives channels for energy to travel in to create the grid work of the geometry of the structure around you. So it's very, very stable. If you just put a sphere, that's pretty stable too, but it tends to bend and tear. These structures, they're almost indestructible when you layer them like this. So that's the reason we use those geometries. And when we are going to put a version of this in the technique section, and I'll have illustrations of what these geometric forms look like to aid in your visualization. So the great news is, for all you guys that really like to go gangbusters with these grids, is that you can kind of copy and paste them. Once you've set up your own dynamic grid, you can kind of move a copy of it from your grid and place it wherever you want to place it, a static grid or a dynamic grid over a person you want to protect. You probably don't want to put it on another person because you're kind of opening them up to other, you're kind of opening them up to being a conduit for energy to course through. So you can technically say put it on your dog or put it on a friend, but it's probably not a good idea to do that unless they're signing up for that kind of service. But what you mostly will probably want to do is copy static grids that you can place over wherever you want to place them. Say you want to place it around Washington, D.C., around Pyongyang, around your local grocery store before you get there. There's all sorts of possibilities. And the grids, just like any grid that you set, is going to attenuate over a few days. So you probably want to renew these grids every few days if you want to keep them maintained. And if you ever want to drop them, like especially the dynamic grid around yourself, you just drop it. You just say drop nested grid and it'll go down. Like if you're feeling, you might do that if you're feeling overstimulated or if you want to stealth things. You know, everybody in the upper dimensions will be able to see you, and that's not such a bad thing at all. But you're also going to be very noticeable wherever you go because you're going to be shining with very brilliant light. And so even if people aren't psychic, they're going to notice you. So if you want to stealth, it's not a good idea to have this up. Any questions?
This is Anne Catherine. Hi, Susanna.
Hi, Anne Catherine.
And can one, like I've been utilizing it to protect our area because of pipeline issues. And so I've been expanding it from my neighborhood to the county, state, East Coast, for all of this kind of stuff. Is that an appropriate use of nested grid?
Your quad grid is probably a really good protective grid. You probably would rather do the quad grid for that.
Okay.
But the nested grid is useful also when you put it around an area because it attracts the attention of the planetary service guys on the upper dimension to pay special attention to that area and support it with energy from the upper dimension. So it's not so much a protective grid. That would be more the quad grid.
Okay.
It's more of a channeling grid. It's very active grid, and it's more for acting as a conduit for energy, upper dimensional energy to pour into a space. So that's the difference.
Thank you.
Fascinating.
Anyone else?
And I recommend people to go and look online at the shapes of the 12-sided and 20-sided hedrons, and you can imagine how strong those one being inside of the other is when you multiply that. They fit.
Very strong.
Yes.
And what that means is a ton of energy can come through. That's why it's important when you have this around yourself that you be pretty practiced at the unified field. If your unified field collapses, the nested grid will collapse. So that's a safeguard, but you can really only manage being a conduit for that kind of intensification of energy that the nested grids provide if you're in your unified field. That way it's not going to strain your body in any way. But there's a safeguard built in. If your unified field collapses, so will the nested grid. So if you have to put up your unified field again, then you have to reinstate the nested grid, just like with the quad grid. Any questions?
Which website is it? This is Len.
Oh, hi, Len. Which website? We don't have
it
up yet.
Can you see the grid?
The nested grid, we're going to be putting it up on the techniques page in the next couple weeks. My web mistress is on vacation right now, but as soon as she gets back, she'll put that up. And we're going to have a recording of the audio of it, and we're also going to have a descriptive thing like we have all the techniques, and I'll put images of the structures up there to help with a visualization.
Okay, great. Thanks.
It'll be on the techniques page. Sure, Anne Catherine.
In the triple and quad grid, we use the spherical, but can we also use other hedrons or other shapes, and they would be maybe stronger since you just mentioned spherical can bend?
Yeah, the problem with that is the reason we have the quad grid is spherical is because you're infusing energy into it, and a sphere will contain the energy a lot better. These structures are meant, the nested grid structure is a transmitter of energy. A sphere can keep it more contained. So you may have to reinstate your quad grids, but it's probably better to keep that a sphere.
Okay.
They kind of serve different purposes, so.
Yeah.
I have a question, please. This is Sally.
Yes, Sally.
Okay. So I remember that we were talking a while back, and I spoke of using the 12-sided grid with white ray around myself and my husband with our unified fields, and then a 20-sided grid around the car, and then the 12-sided grid around the road that we were traveling on. And I thought you said that was okay.
Yeah, it is okay because you're still, when you put the field around yourself, it's dynamic. It moves with you anyway. What you're doing when you add the car and the roads and all of that, it's just kind of like an added layer of security. Just you're just visualizing it, but it really will travel where you are. So if you're in the car, it'll be around the car. If you're on a road, it'll be around the road. Because when you put it around you, it's going to travel with you wherever you go and however you're traveling.
So it's
good idea to do before airplane flight too, by the way, guys. Pardon me?
Well,
you can use the quad grid for that too.
Yeah, I'm confusing when to use the quad grid and when to use just 12 and 20-sided grids.
Well, the 12 and 20-sided grids, the nested grids, are when you want to attract energy from the other dimensions. And you might want to do this when traveling because it alerts all your guides. And they can support you and help kind of protect you in a way. And the quad grid is meant to infuse and move certain types of energy through it that you determine. The quad grid has each layer. Remember, you're clearing the space. The quad grid will clear the space and then infuse certain energies into the space by your intention. When you open the nested grid, it's more open-ended. It's kind of inviting the upper dimensions to work through it, and it might have anything they want. And just so you guys know, it doesn't matter what color you imagine these or visualize these to be. Whenever they're being used in the upper dimensions, they'll put whatever rays or combination of rays is appropriate. So if you just want to visualize it as plain white light, that's fine. Want to do it turquoise, you can do that. It really doesn't matter what gray you set it up as.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Okay.
Oh, hi. John?
Yeah, it's John.
Oh, hi, John. Welcome.
Hey, thank you. So you said it doesn't matter what ray you use because the upper dimensional, they'll bring in whatever ray they need to use. But in the nested grids meditation, you did say purity or white light, and as a kind of basic one to use. And I was wondering if that really does provide like a clearing, cleaning, purifying energy always to the nested grids. So it has a kind of protective.
No, because there's white light. And there's just white light by itself, the white ray. Basically, the white ray you can see is kind of a neutral palette to add other rays to. It's also used as a protection ray. Purity is white with a touch of blue, but it isn't the white ray. So if you wanted to purify, you could infuse the grid with purity if you wanted to purify. But again, I would suggest using the basic quad grid for purification.
Okay. All right, cool.
Any other questions? All right, let me call the council in and we'll begin today's work. Greetings all, and thank you for joining us today. We are going to be having your fields unify and joining into a single unified field for our work today. We'll set your unified field by command code now. 1-1. 2-1, 3-2, 5-3, 8-13-8, 21-13, 34-21, 55-34, 89-55, 144-89, initiate unified field. Now we would like you to extend your unified field out to touch the unified field of everyone who is participating with this call today, creating a single unified field of intention for our work today. Very good. Some of you may have been noticing that you've been feeling very inward lately, not much of an urge to go out or to socialize. more of a reevaluation phase, which is unusual for January, except in these chaos node years. In the chaos node years in January, after the chaos node ends in December, you have a period of beginning the integration phase, where you're integrating the energy that has been absorbed from the collapsed parallels and merged parallels of the chaos node. So unlike most times when everybody gets raring to go after the holidays, you may have felt a slowdown and haven't been able to really quantify it. Some of you may have pushed through this and gotten sick with a virus or something that kind of forced you to go inward. There are also going to be, has been, and will continue to be through February, multiple major dissensions. Now, a dissension of spirit is when more of your spirit comes to express through your body. And that's a very good thing, of course. But what it's going to tend to do is any place that doesn't match that vibration or frequency, it's going to shed out of your field, dumping old energy, outdated patterns, outdated thought forms or emotions, things that no longer fit. And so you may also feel like you're detoxing energetically. This can cause you to feel tired, so it's probably a good idea to ask for purity blasts on a regular basis just to clear it out. But you'll probably also feel very expansive, but that expansion will be focused inward. Your crown chakras will be very, very open during these times, because when you're having a major dissension, it keeps the crown chakra farther open than it normally sits. So some of you may feel very vulnerable in your head. If that's the case, wear a little hat when you go out. It might feel better. Those of you on this call, we're also going to place etheric stabilizer rings around the crown chakras so it doesn't disturb the surrounding circuitry of your brain and the axiotonals there, which it can do because of intensity. And again, we would say that it's always a good thing to have more of your essence expressing through your body. And feel like you're very much in a reevaluation. But that's going to start coming, you know, moving outward. You're going to start wanting to move outward in mid to late February. So those projects that you felt like you should be raring to go on in January, you'll be feeling very much into doing in mid-February or beyond. Also, there's going to be a lot of energy available on the planet just in general to apply to your projects, to your healing, to anything that you're trying to accomplish, to new things you're starting to begin, whether that's externally focused in businesses and manifesting new places to live or new jobs or new situations or new relationships. You're doing bringing more to bear for your inner work. But there will be a lot more energy available for you to grow new things. And we encourage you to enjoy this going forward. So just with that bit of information, we've said before, and we'll reiterate, that this year is bound to bring a lot of macro changes, meaning societal, political, economic changes, and disruptions. We always suggest that you keep your focus on the new world that you are co-creating and that is emerging from the old, rather than on the aspects of the dysfunctional aspects that are falling away or dying in the world that you knew growing up. Things have radically changed even while you've been alive in this lifetime, and they will continue to do so. But that's what you all signed up for and are excited to participate with at this time. Now today we'd like to introduce you to the probability grid. You might visit the probability grid when you want to explore certain vectors. By vectors we mean certain probabilities of certain things happening. When there is energy of events that converge and combine, they create vectors, which are probabilities of certain outcomes. And the probability grid exists on all dimensions other than the physical, starting with the astral plane. So depending on what level that you access the probability grid is the level of the outcomes you're looking at. If you were, say, to attempt to read the probability grids on the seventh dimension, and we welcome you to try, though we're not sure you'd get much comprehension from that, you would see vast universal probability. On the astral plane, the upper astral plane, if you're reading the probabilities there, you're more likely to see probabilities that are more immediately relevant to an individual life, your choices, or the group collective choices of a city, a nation. If you want to see more planetary vectors, we suggest you read the probability grids on the fifth dimension. And that's where we're going to go today for our work. Now, for the purposes of visualization, and this by no means reflects the reality of the complexity of these grids, you might imagine a flat Cartesian grid connected by spheres, what we would call nodes. Those nodes are choice points where individual or collective choice can branch off into different sets of probabilities. What we are going to do is influence what we call highest probability outcomes. And if you're not sure you know a specific probability of what might happen, you can still move to influence highest probability outcome to occur. Now, we would caution you that highest probability doesn't necessarily mean that you would consider it the best. However, it's all because it's always based on previous choices. If the previous choices were lower probability, then even the highest probability outcome may not be the best. However, working with higher probability choices, you'll tend to have higher probability outcomes. And you can influence these by entering those node points, those nodal points on this grid, and infusing it with higher light. What that does is it brings it up and sets off a new probability track. And that's the track of highest probability. Now, since we're working with planetary probabilities in this case, we are going to do this from the fifth dimension, or what's called also the causal plane. This is the dimension above the astral plane, because we're working to influence highest probability outcomes to avert possibilities of war today, the possibility of warlike action. Now, of course, there are wars currently being conducted on the planet. There always are. We're talking about new wars at this point. But we can also use our work today to focus on highest probability outcomes for the wars that are already underway. And by wars, we mean anything from major conflicts that are known to everybody to localized convulsions of violence, skirmishes that you may not read about in the news, but that are nevertheless going on in conflicts with people. And that includes the conflicts between your police forces domestically and the people that they consider to be criminals. This can add higher probability outcomes to some of the abuses that the police system has been inflicting upon especially certain segments of your population based on race and prejudice. So today we are going to go take the unified field, collective unified field, and we are going to set our intention to walk through a shining door. The shining door is going to lead to the fifth dimensional probability grids. So we will now enter that today. We want to just float there to orient yourself first. Again, you might visualize it as a Cartesian grid with these circular spherical points connecting the crossing points of each of these lines. And when you're not sure exactly what point you're looking for, based on what your intention is in navigating the probability grid, you ask the appropriate node to light up. In this case, our group intention is to work on all probabilities relating to war on planet Earth. And there will be many nodes that come up when this occurs. Where you see all the different nodes light up, you will, if you are working with the probability grids on your own and you see multiple nodes lighting up, you want to connect your intention to all of them by throwing a net of light, a net of golden light, using the gold ray, like throwing a fine mesh net that surrounds all of the nodes and connects them to each other. That means that you can work with several nodes at once. And for efficiency's sake, that is what we are going to do today. Again, there are many, many nodes here because there are wars going on currently and proposed wars that people are thinking about right now. dozens, maybe hundreds. Connecting these nodes. Locate, we are locating the one closest to us, and we are going to bring our unified field to drop into the center of it. And here in the node, you will feel like you're surrounded by a sphere of light with lines of light that could be tunnels or gates or doors, however you visualize it, leading in all directions around you. Now again, because we've set the gold net of connection to all of them, by working on this one, we will affect all of them. Because what we are trying to do today is no specific outcome, but simply highest probability outcome, leaving it to higher wisdom to determine what those highest probability outcomes could be. Now, as you are standing in this sphere of light, another bubble of light is going to fall in front of you. This is representing the highest probability outcome. Using our collective intention, we are going to split this ball of light into however many doorways or gates or tunnels that you perceive and shooting them down those hallways, remaining where you are in this particular node, shooting them in all the directions, everything that is connected to this node, connecting all the probabilities that come from this one point, infusing the probability grid surrounding us with highest probability outcomes. Good. With collective intention here, as we are conducting here, the energy and influence that you can exert is greatly increased over that which you might accomplish attempting this alone. Though we were not meaning to dismiss individual efforts, it is the collective effort of the group intention that elevates it to greater efficiency and effectiveness. And now through our collective unified field, please allow the Planetary Service Healers, the Uraeus Group of the Council, to infuse their own energy through the collective unified field out from this node in all directions, not only assisting in highest probability outcomes, but sending the energy supported to bring about those higher probability outcomes. No good setting an intention if there's no energy to carry it forward. So even if you are doing this work individually, calling upon the Uraeus Group of the Council to boost your work is very efficient. Because then you're not only setting your intention for the highest probability outcome, you are setting it for, you're giving the energy provided that is necessary to achieve that goal. So please hold your collective intention and your collective unified grid while we beam that energy through. Feeling connected in your intention for highest light, for the highest potential of love, truth, and energy to be made manifest on the physical plane and all other dimensions. Bringing together the love and intention and support that is yours by birthright from all dimensions, all the way to source, carrying that divine love, that divine truth, and the divine energy to suffuse your being, the beings of all that you are connected to in this circle, and flowing it out to connect to all connected to these probabilities in this grid. Very good. Holding collective focus, please. Highest probability outcome for all concerned in all matters relating to planetary war. And you could come up here if you wished and do all matters relating to planetary justice, to planetary equality, to planetary liberty, to planetary prosperity, to planetary balance. There are all sorts of possibilities. All energy to highest probability related to the polarization that leads to violence, to the institutionalized violence of war, to the institutionalized violence of police forces and enforcement groups, highest probability outcome. And now we hold the energy of peace to touch everything that these probabilities touch. The energy of peace, that ray which looks like the inside of an abalone shell, the base of silver with all other colors flickering within it. Let it flow from our collective intention to touch all probabilities that we touch today, infusing all those involved with the energies of peace, with the energies of love, and with the energies of peaceful victory for all concerned. We now hold for the energy of rapture, the earth energy that transcends physical form and physical limitation and physical weakness. It's a honey brown with flecks of gold in it, and it is very connected to the earth because it is rapture you feel when you are connected to all levels of your being and all levels of your expression in integrity and in service to the earth. Rapture, let it go and touch all the probabilities that we touch today. Very good. Very good. Now, just for your information, if you wish to work on your own probability grid, the probability grids that you have generated through the accumulation of your past choices, it would be appropriate for you to unify your field. Connect to your inner altar of the heart through the exercise we have provided, and let the door light up that leads you to your probability grids, your personal probability grids. It will look similar, like a grid connected by nodes, spheres of light. And you especially want to approach it when you are approaching a choice or you are in the crux of a choice, and you want to be sure that you choose the highest probability outcome and magnetize that to you. But we can go into more detail about that if people are interested in a future transmission. For today, we would love to thank you for your service and allow your consciousness to come back to where you are in your room. A circle of love and group intention for highest probability for the evolution of consciousness on this planet and the support of all life. Thank you.